The Money Show.
Small business.
With Pavlo Fatidis.
And welcome to Pavlo Fatidis. And I wonder what you regard as one of the biggest corporate lies of all time. What do companies tell people that they want them to believe, but isn't true? Our people are our biggest asset. Our most valuable asset goes downstairs in the lift in the evening. What I suspect they mean to say most of the time is most of our people are pretty useful to us. They're expensive, so we like to ensure that we get good value out of them. And when they go down in the lift in the evening, we do what we can to make sure they come back tomorrow. And if they don't, well, we get rid of them and we get new ones. It's a bit cynical. Pavlo Fatidis is at Auric Business Accelerator. He's the founder. An overly cynical view, perhaps, Pavlo, or not?
I think it's a profoundly practical view. And the reason for it is in very large corporates, you've got big budgets, you've got big cash flow capabilities based on years and years and years of growth and years and years and years of accumulated capital and momentum. You can afford to solve your people problem through a paycheck and a paycheck alone. So I don't think that that's necessarily untrue. I've seen remarkable people join corporates, and when they leave corporates, they're simply replaced. It's just another person. Smaller or medium-sized business, within the corporate environment.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very different story. Very different story. One person can have a significant impact. And a lot of people, I think, wrongly or dangerously invest in that notion that we're looking for the white knight, the silver bullet, the one individual who can come and make the big difference that we need made in our business in order to grow our own business. And I think it is a very dangerous attitude or view that still persists right across economies.
So then, okay, we run a business and we've got 10 people and we think, well, number 11 is going to make all the difference. And they do. And we start to relying and depending on number 11. And it's all going very nicely indeed. The danger there, of course, is they if they decide to go down in the lift one day and don't come back the next, you are really in trouble. The corporate can, you know, sort of fudge it for a while and, you know, find alternative, make an alternative arrangement. For a medium-sized business, that can be devastating, can be the death knell, in fact.
Yeah, you know, if you really are to look at people and say, well, what do people bring to a business? We've got talent, and talent is very different to skill. You know, skills typically earned through years of experience and practice in many ways. You can develop a skill. You might have a natural aptitude towards a particular kind of skill, and that's helpful and useful. But true talent is unusual, and it's rare. And then you also just have general labor. In other words, somebody can come on board and get a job done. And I'm not going to talk about culture and values because it then starts to become very, very difficult to consolidate a single perspective or point of view in managing that. If we're talking about that one individual, that person who's got specifically talent, there are a whole lot of issues with it. The first is the likelihood of you being able to afford them is low. If they've got talent and they've exercised that talent and they have delivered results on the back of that talent, in other words, it's talent that can translate into good economics for the employer, why would they come to you? You know, what would set you apart from the big corporate paychecks that are waved at these people? The second thing is, if talent does come on board, well, then who's in control of the business? Does talent wave the proverbial tail of the business, or does the business manage the talent in the direction of the business? And very often, that talent has a heavier perspective or attitude or influence on the business itself. Next, you then start to depend on the talent. And Bruce, when you start to depend on the talent, in many ways, you're arguing it to yourself as a business owner that without that talent, what is the business that I have? There was a case the other day, I spoke to a business owner who has 40% of their revenue being driven by one individual. and their relationship with that individual is online. It's virtual. There's a long relationship between that individual and the company. But if that individual were to say, I'm no longer available at your service, or to remain in service, I need to double up my income and earning, where does it leave you? That's where typically the tail wags the dog. And then the last
And this part. Pavel, this is really important, because you're immensely grateful for the skills and the talent of that one individual. And yes, it exposes you disproportionately to a vulnerability in your business, but without them, you wouldn't be earning the money. So surely you've then got to be managing as best you can the talent to ensure that, one, they're happy, two, they're well incentivized, three, they're not likely to jump ship. And if they do, well, you better have a plan B somewhere in the background.
Well, you know, I think you need to get ahead of all of those factors and features. Yes, absolutely. You want to try and hold talent on board. You want to keep talent inspired. You want to give them a good reason to be in your company and to remain in your company. But Bruce, I still don't like it. I still don't like it. You know, sport is a wonderful analogy, especially football, because typically in any football side, there's a kind of the star striker, the Messi or the Ronaldo or whoever it may be at any point in time. And yet, does one player make a team? Does one player build the team? Without the rest of the team, they're feeding the benefit of this abilities, of this individual's ability to score those goals. Well, on their own, they're not worthy of anything. And yet, you look at the cost of those individuals in a team itself. It has pushed many of these professional sports teams to the edge of sustainability, and in some cases into bankruptcy. So I think you need to get ahead of this in a more meaningful way, in a far more fundamental or practical way. And
what
if you can get
that
right.
What's the solution then to the talent problem? You want the talent. You're grateful for the talent. If the talent has helped you build and develop your business, you know, they become essential and indispensable. I know nobody's indispensable. They become a really important part of your business. And in that, you expose yourself and you become vulnerable to an accident, a departure, whatever it might be, perhaps destructive behaviors, whatever it might be. So how do you then guard against the potential downside of the person upon whom you have depended so much no longer being able to work for you, or no longer working for you, or no longer wanting to work for you?
Well, that really is the nub of the issue. So the starting point is, well, why are you doing what you're doing? And it sounds trite, but I ask this question every single day that I meet business owners, and you'll be surprised how few people can actually answer that question in a clear, consistent, coherent manner. But if what you're doing is there to earn economy for yourself, well, then be opportunistic, onboard the talent, and in effect, ride that winning horse to the extent that you can as a jockey. But when the horse decides to bolt to another stable or another racetrack, everything you've built, you lose. But that wasn't your intent in the first place. Your intent was to, in effect, take a bet on an individual that made money while they were with you. Outside of that, they're gone. And you are where you were before they started. I think it's a lousy approach, that, because it's sloppy, it's lazy, and it doesn't have a deeper intent behind it. If your intent, however, is to create a business that's built into an asset, in other words, a business that generates income on a consistent basis, that improves its capital value, and of a day, 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years from today, you can exit it for a capital gain in order to recover a great return on all your investment over the last 30 years. If that's your approach, when seeking talent, first understand how and where the talent will be of value to you. So know why you're employing the talent. Let's say, for example, it's going to be in sales, which is where most people seek talent, or in operations, the service delivery, the service fulfillment side, where the second demand for talent lies. In both those instances, Bruce, onboarding that talent needs to have, in tune with it, in parallel with it, a technique with which to, in effect, decode how that talent behaves in order to deliver the value that that talent does deliver. So, for example, if it's somebody in sales, How is it that they bring the sales in consistently? Do they have fantastic prospecting capabilities? And if so, how do they prospect? And your relationship with that individual, asking the many, many questions to slowly unpick and unpack and then restitch together how they prospect into a system of activities is essentially how you start yielding a return on investment on that talent. If it's in the sales engagement process, outside of personality, what are the activities or processes or steps that very often talent itself is unaware of that they take to convert interest into a customer? That in itself then forms a system of selling. And once you have, in effect, decoded talent into a system of activities, it creates a framework within which an individual using, running, operating, managing that system can bring their personality to bear, but within the framework itself. If you can get that right, then investing in talent and ensuring that the value lies in the business rather than in the individual is how you get a far greater and more satisfactory return as the owner or investor in that talent in the first place.
It's an absolutely critical path to take here, Pavlo. But for most people, especially founders of businesses who have started the thing from scratch, who understand the nuts and bolts, who know how it works and are grateful for the help that comes in, you've got to get this process started sooner rather than later. You can't be sort of looking at this key individual and watching them excel and harvesting the rewards and a year in going, ooh, I better, you know, mitigate against the risk here because this person is so brilliant and if they leave, I'm in trouble. And then suddenly trying to reverse manage them into a framework. Rather, I suppose, what, start at the beginning? It's a very good place to start.
Well, very much so. You've got to set the ground rules at the beginning with everyone that you employ within your organization. And, you know, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to do because, as you rightly said, you used the word grateful over there. Very often when you're in the early phases of a building, of a business, or in the growing stages of a business, and mostly you're feeling out of depth and mostly you feel to a degree like an imposter because you don't have all the answers and you have someone who opts to come on board because they're excited about your business. That sense of feeling grateful, yes, allow it to be there, demonstrate it, show it, but be clear how you're going to get a long-term return on that talent because it's likely that that talent at that point in time, Bruce, is one of the heftiest salaries and biggest investments you make in this notion called human capital.
You also want that talent to be able to flourish. You want that talent to be able to shine. You want them to be to feel valued and valuable, but not indispensable at the same time, because that can be, you know, quite a dangerous game to play.
Always a dangerous game. I'll never forget a meeting that I attended with a fairly large business. There was a big transaction that was taking place, and sitting next to me was the lead, the operational lead of the transaction. And Bruce, that's someone who I know really well, after the meeting, went on for about 4 hours, everyone vacated the room. I turned around to him and I said, have you got all of that? He said, absolutely. I said, because I was looking at your notebook and I couldn't read it. It seemed to me to be hieroglyphics. He said, it's my code on how to implement this transaction. I said, why in code? He says, because, Pavlo, and he looked me in the eye. Let them try and get rid of me. And that is all you need to think about as a business owner. When you have someone who's going to hold you over the barrel at a crucial point in time in your business's growth or career, yeah, that's the cost of not getting it right. You learn that lesson once.
And I'm sure your blood ran cold as mine just did, and yours probably cooled fractionally telling that story. Pavlo Fotidis at Auric Business Accelerator, the founder of Auric Business Accelerator, sage advice for growing businesses here on The Money Show.